You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to check out all of our courses, starting from essential church planting, essential campus pastoring, developing a core team, all the way to the newest ones that we've just released at newchurches.com/courses. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. You always have that same note.
Really?
Like, it's not, you're not just saying what, it's the exact same note, I think, every single time.
Well,
that's pretty good.
Because
are you a good singer?
No.
I think you do a good classical Sinatra type of thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm more of a, I can mimic people. Like, I don't okay. have my own voice, but, you know, I'd be like, chat, 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 no more. Take this song to my...
Before we get into our question, I did want to read a review from iTunes. And if you have not yet left us one, be sure to do that, because it does help other people find out about it.
In London town.
This one is J_IZNMN. And the title is Great Church Planting Resource, 5 stars. I always keep these guys up to date in my podcasting regimen. Thoughtful and informative info sessions that keep me thinking about my church plant leadership team here in Tokyo and how we can always be improving.
First things good first, work, I'm the realist. Keep it up.
So it's Tokyo. So thank you for leaving that review. I'm not going to mail you anything.
You should digital.
I will give you something digital. Something. Yeah, I will give you something digital, and it's going to be great.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So email me, Daniel at newchurches.com, and we'll hook you up with some good digital swag, because I will not mail something to Tokyo. No prejudice, but it's just going to be a lot of money.
We're
going to
be in Australia. If you want to swing down that way.
Yeah, there you go.
We're there soon.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So thanks for leaving that review. And today we are going to be listening to a question about burnout. So let's listen in.
How do you ensure that church members do not get burnt out in the multi-site pioneering process?
Short and sweet, but it's a question that we have not yet addressed. Right? We've talked about burnout a little bit here and there, but not really in the sense of church members and how a church moving from a single site to multi-site can actually affect the church members and possibly induce burnout. So what are your thoughts on that, Todd?
Well, one of the key things that you do to keep people from burning out is, first and foremost, have a compelling vision and keep it in front of them. Secondly, you only are choosing the things that are most important and focusing on those things, so there's not a bunch of sideways energy that gets people exhausted. A big part of pipeline is thinking about conviction, culture, and construct. So conviction would be those core things that say, hey, it's really important that we develop people here for the mission that we've got. Culture is making sure that those are shared behaviors among everybody. And finally, constructs are the systems and processes that help people plug into ministry and grow and be successful. And so all those things are really important, that you have alignment in them and that you are focused in that effort. So many times we'll have a quick win. We'll have a bunch of people come in if we're lucky and blessed. And then we start a bunch of things that we shouldn't. Rather than saying, okay, no, all this is, it's great that we have all these people. How do we continue to refine our focus on the vision that we have, making sure that we don't add a bunch of extra things that come alongside of that, but that we remain focused and true and continue to scale that up and make sure that we're doing those things well, to making sure that those leaders that you have in place are building up other leaders and transitioning the burden along with the blessing of that ministry to those other leaders.
Yeah, part of ensuring that your members don't get burnt out is by doing your homework, right? It's by getting things ready. Now, in my book that's coming up, coming out in September 1st, it's called No Silver Bullets, 5 Small Shifts to Transform Your Ministry. I like that sound effect. That should be in the audiobook, right?
Super cliche. If you record your audiobook, I would love to be there with you. I think you need me.
I've been listening to this audiobook called Extreme Ownership.
What's good?
And it's talking about Navy SEALs. Yeah. But I'm listening to it via Audible, and there's occasionally some sound effects.
Like machine guns?
Yeah. Or if a bomb goes off, it's like, I'm like, where did this come from? Most audiobooks don't do that unless it's dramatized. But this is just the author's talking. So,
you know what you should do in your book?
What?
Like every time you drop something that you think is tweet worthy, we should have that in the background. Like, boom. Or I could just do it instead to forget sound effects. I actually just come in and be like, yeah, tweet that.
Yeah. And it was funny because as I was writing my acknowledgments, someone said, oh, you should totally write to Todd and say something about what? And I sure did.
You did?
Before he even said that.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm like, and to Todd, what? So that's fun. But back to the question. The reason I bring up my book is because there's these 4 personas when I'm talking about discipleship from a systems perspective that churches often take. One of them is your copycat church. Another is your hippie church, a silver bullet church, or an intentional church. And if a church does not do their necessary homework to know what it takes to go and be multi-site, and if they're not stopping things and refining things while they start new things, then they're really going to fall into this camp of being a copycat church where they start something new and it's just been added on. And 6 months later, when it doesn't work, they're going to go do something else. And we've all been a part of churches and have seen churches where that sense of organizational accountability, the systemic accountability where is very low. So you start and you just abandon it. You start something else and you abandon it. And that is what burns people out.
Here's the thing. They don't truly abandon it. They don't kill it or allow it to die. They just stick it over in the corner and allow it to stay on life support forever.
Yeah. Like many groups and ministries that do need to die.
It's like, okay, this has been great, but we need to go ahead and take care of this and really say everything that we do, everything that we announce, everything that we throw people or time, talent, and treasure into, is an opportunity cost. And so it costs us something to do that versus something else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we sacrifice great ministry on the altar of good ministry or okay ministry or frankly, you know, somebody's sacred cow.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah. So every time you start something, you need to figure out what you're going to stop. You need to figure out what you're going to refine. And I love this quote by Peter Drucker. He says, getting rid of yesterday is the decision that most long-range plans in business never tackle. Maybe the main reason for their futility. So if you want to move ahead with multi-site, that is where your strategy is going to have its birthplace, right? You need to stop first in order to learn how to start. And then that way, when you start something new, you're shepherding your congregation. Because what do we say, Todd, on the podcast, that a third, whenever we do change, a third.
Third, a third, a third. Yeah. So a third of the people will be ready for change. Mm-hmm. They've just been waiting for change. And if you bring another change to them in 3 months, they'll be more than happy to embrace that too. They like change.
Yeah.
A third of the people don't care what the change is, they don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. These are the keepers of the status quo, and they are ready and watchful.
Not ready, willing, and able.
Any change that might be about. And then the other third is just waiting to see what happens.
Yeah.
And they're just waiting to see who wins. And more often than not, we spend our capital, our relational capital, with the wrong group. We spend it on the naysayers, the poo-pooers, if you will, who are ready.
That's good. I know you have young kids. So.
Yes. Oh, yes. I learned that from my 4-year-old. I didn't know that word until then.
Hey, it doesn't matter if you're 4 or 40 or 80. Poo-poo is funny. All right. So back to the question, burning out.
So burning out. You don't want to pay attention to the naysayers. Those people aren't going to be happy. So you do listen to them once or twice, and then you go to the people that are excited. You get some early wins, early, quick, visible wins. Even if they're small, doesn't matter. Stick a magnifying glass on them and go back and tell everybody else about how great it was.
Yeah.
Hold that in front. And eventually, either the naysayers will come on board or they'll leave.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't want to be sticks in the mud, and they'll be seen as that by everyone when this actually comes through and happens.
Yeah. In fact, Ali, thanks again for sending in this question. And we'll actually send you a copy of Tom Rainer's Who Moved My Pulpit, because this book is actually going to help you know how to navigate change, right? Know how to shepherd your congregation, because part of the whole idea of getting early wins, casting a vision, all these things are very important steps to institute change. And in fact, in Who Moved My Pulpit, right, there's a framework, right? There are steps to change. And the first step is stop to pray. Second one is confront and communicate a sense of urgency. Then it's build an eager coalition, become a voice and vision of hope, then deal with people issues, move from an inward focus to an outward focus, pick low-hanging fruit, and then implement and consolidate change. So, Ali, thanks. Thank you for sending in that question. We'll send you that book. And for everyone else who is thinking about transition, thinking about making sure members don't get burnt out through change, this is going to be a great resource for you to help you with that. So thanks again for listening in, and we will catch you next time.